Well, turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. And if you are there, I will commence reading the first 16 verses of Genesis chapter 4. I commence reading from the English Standard Version. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is encroaching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Let's just pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this year and for allowing us to see the beginning of this year. We give you thanks that the first day of this year is the Lord's Day, and you've been pleased to allow us to be found in your presence and in your house. We ask that you be pleased to minister to us and cause that your word will be preached authoritatively. And as we were ministered to in that song, that we may see that only the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our dear God, we pray for those present this morning, still living a life of rebellion against you. Father, we ask that as your word is being opened up, speak to them and show them that the way of Cain is a way that leads to everlasting condemnation. We pray for those that are believers, that as they meditate and think through the message on the way of Cain, that they will see the need to urgently, passionately, zealously proclaim your word to those living in sin. Father, we ask that may you glorify yourself and may your name be praised through the preaching of your word for the sake of Christ. Amen. Well, we are beginning a new year, and as usual, most of us are making resolutions for the year. Probably you look back at last year and there are some resolutions that you made and did not work. And so you hope to do better this year. And as you make those resolutions, I pray that one of them will be for you to serve God better than you've ever done in your life. Or at least better than you did last year. And I thought to just take a break from the series we've been doing in John and just to bring God's word to us this morning through the book of Genesis, and in particular in chapter 4. And most of us know that the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. It is a book that records the beginning of the universe, the beginning of the world, and life in the world as we know it. It records the beginning of human life and many other important things. And when you read the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, you see many first things happening or appear in those chapters. For example, you see the first man to ever lived in this world, the first woman who ever lived. You see the first command from God, the first marriage in the world. You see the first, you get a picture of the first home, the first sin, the first death, and so many other important things recorded for us in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And in the chapter and the passage we've read, the Lord gives us a glimpse inside the family of Adam and Eve, the first family ever in this world. And we see Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. And in our passage, they are the focus of attention in Genesis chapter 4. In the life of Cain, we see a portrait, a picture of every person born in this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a prototype of people who live in rebellion against God. We see a picture of how we come into this world separated from the love of God, living in sin and in rebellion against God. The life of Cain describes a life of those who do not live by faith, those who do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are ruled and controlled by sin. And when you get to Jude 11, there the Bible refers to people in rebellion against God and in their sins as people who follow the way of Cain. The characteristics of those who refuse to live according to God's word and God's will are seen in the life of Cain as revealed to us in Genesis chapter 4, and we'll see them as we progress. And I would like to plead with you this morning that as you think of making resolutions for this year, as you think of what this year holds for you, as these characteristics of the way of Cain are being brought out to you this morning, that you'll examine your heart. You'll seriously think about yourself. And these characteristics of the life of Cain, if they are true of you, that you may see your desperate need of a Savior, and that you may run to the Lord Jesus Christ and plead that the blood of Christ may cleanse you from your sins. But for those of us who are believers, as the word of Cain is being brought to you this morning, and as you ponder and think about these characteristics, that if the Lord burdens you with someone you know, whose life is characterized by the way of Cain, that you may go to them, plead with them, share the gospel, and that throughout this year you may passionately pray for them, that the God of the heavens may take residence in their hearts and show them their sins and conquer their hearts, so that they too can come to know what it means to have your sins forgiven by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us open up the passage together and see the characteristics of the way of Cain. And the first thing we see is that the way of Cain is characterized by a heart that is unbelieving. The way of Cain is characterized by a heart that is unbelieving. And we pick this in verse 1 through to verse 5a of Genesis chapter 4. Now, a bit of background to this passage. Before Genesis chapter 4, in Genesis chapter 3, we have a picture of hopelessness. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and God banished them out of the garden, and all hope was lost. And when we get to Genesis chapter 4, and the Bible gives us a picture of hope, Adam and Eve sinned against God. They were cast out of this beautiful garden. They lost relationship with God, fellowship with God. And now when you get to Genesis chapter 4, you see some glimpse of hope in the fact that now Adam and Eve were blessed with a child. And that child must have been a source of hope to them, a source of new beginning, a source of things yet to come, greater things hopefully. As they were banished from the Garden of Eden, they were relegated to a life of pain, sorrow, toil, and eventually they were going to die because of sin. And now in Genesis chapter 4, we are told, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. And suddenly, there was this hope in their lives. In the face of uncertainties, there was this wonder of new life. In the face of hopelessness, there was a hope of new beginning. But as you proceed in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through to verse 5, we're also told that God blessed them with a second child. And his name was Abel. And as these two were growing, Adam and Eve must have shared with them what it means to obey God, to listen to God, to follow the instructions of God. They must have shared with them what it means to disobey God and the consequences that follows. They must have taught these two boys what it means to worship God. They must have trained these two in the ways of the Lord. And the scriptures tell us that when these two, hopefully they're of age and they went before the Lord to worship God and to present their sacrifices, the Bible in Genesis chapter 4 verse 4 tells us And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was angry, and his face fell. And so when these two went before the Lord to worship, we are told there that the Lord looked upon with approval on the offering of Abel. And he looked down on the offering of Cain. And God's approval of Abel and the rejection of Cain was not because Abel brought an animal and Cain brought fruits. The rejection lies in the words of verse 4, where we told, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat portions. Now the word firstborn suggests the very best. And the phrase their fat portions speaks of the careful preparation on the part of Abel. Abel carefully selected the best animals. He knew that was going before the God of the heavens. He knew that was going before a holy God. And this holy God deserved the best. And Abel took time to prepare, took time to go through his animals, and he brought the very best. He brought it before the Lord. And he offered it by faith. It appears that as Abel went before the Lord, he went out of his way to prepare himself before God. He wanted something that would please God. And Abel's sacrifice said or suggests to us that he believed God and he offered it by faith. And that's why when you come to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4, we are told that Abel's sacrifice was by faith. He must have heard from his parents that when they sinned against God, God had promised a Messiah. One was going to come and redeem them from their sins. And as Abel was going before God, he was going on the terms of God, looking forward to the Messiah who was going to save them from their sins. And as he was going before God, he was offering his sacrifice by faith and on the terms that would be pleasing to God. Abel sacrificed, said the Lord, about his faith in God, but also how he was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But Cain, on the other hand, he also brought the sacrifice. He also came before God to worship, and he brought of the fruit of the ground. Now, there's no evidence throughout the scriptures that Cain offered his sacrifice before God in an act of faith. There's no evidence in the scriptures that suggests to us that Cain did a careful preparation before going before God. There's no evidence in the scriptures that shows us that here was a man who was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. When Cain brought his sacrifice before God, he portrays an attitude that was saying to God, I know your standards, I know what you've said, but I think my way is as good as your standards. And here is my sacrifice. Take or leave it. Cain lacked faith and dependent on self to be accepted before God. And the Bible tells us that God rejected his offering. God did not accept his offering, because he is a man who was coming before God on his terms and not on the terms of God. He is a man who wanted to please God by his efforts and not on the revealed will of God. Here is a man who was thinking he was good enough before God, and God was going to accept him the way he was. And Cain's way reveals a heart that is unbelieving, a heart that was lost in sin, a heart that refused to come to God, God's way. In short, he rejected the gospel of grace as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his heart reveals a heart that did not believe in God and God's word and God's ways. And the characteristics of Cain are the many characteristics that we see even today. Many people are unbelieving in God. They don't come to God on God's terms. They want to come to God on their terms. Like Cain, they think they are good enough for God. And God has no choice but to listen to them and accept them the way they are. And if this is true of you this morning, God will reject your sacrifice. God will reject your worship because you do not come on his terms, and your heart reveals that you do not believe in God. Your heart reveals unbelief. Unbelief in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief in the salvation of God as revealed in Christ. Unbelief in the only hope of salvation. Unbelief in the final judgment to come. Your heart reveals the characteristics of Cain, thinking that God should accept you because of your good works, because of your religious acts, because of your membership or affiliation to church, because you are baptized and raised in the church. Yet God's plan stands this morning. God's plan is simple. God's plan is that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Any other way apart from this will lead you into hell. Any other way apart from Christ reveals that you do not believe. Any other way apart from what the gospel says is a sure way to usher yourself into hell. Because your heart is unbelieving. But secondly, the way of Cain is characterized by a heart which is unrepentant. A heart which is unrepentant. And this is seen in the actions that follows after their sacrifices, after they went before God to worship. Verse 5b through to verse 7. Let me begin from verse 5. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you hungry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is encroaching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." As soon as Cain realized that the offering he took before God, God had rejected it, the Bible says his face fell. And what that means is that his whole conduct changed. He was downcast. He could not understand why God would not accept his offering but accepted Abel's offering. But God, who sees all things, God who knows all things, knew what was in Cain's heart. And in verse 6 and verse 7, the Lord speaks to Cain. The Lord addresses Cain. The Lord confronts what was in Cain's heart. The Lord tells Cain, why are you jealousy? Why are you burning with hot rage? Why is there this heated fury within you? And God tells Cain in verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And here the Lord was saying to Cain, He wasn't saying to him that, look, go and look for a right sacrifice and come to me. The Lord was saying to Cain that, look, you need a change of heart towards me. You need to change your attitude when it comes to relating with me. You need to know that I'm a God who punishes sin. I'm a God who sees the thoughts and who sees the intents of your heart. God wants Cain to repent of his attitude and to walk with God in faith, humility, and according to God's ways. Abel, his brother, had faith in God. Abel, his brother, was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But not with Cain. And God warns Cain that if you don't do what is right, sin is encroaching on your door. You must rule over it. You must not let sin take control of your heart. You must not let sin pounce on you. Have control over sin. Let not sin be your master. Let not sin devour you. Sin is encroaching at your door. But we know that Cain did not have control over sin. Cain did not repent. Cain did not change his heart. Cain did not honor God. And sin took control of him. He refused to believe in God, to look forward to the promise of God. He refused to come to God in the right way. He refused to offer the sacrifice before God in a way that would be pleasing to God. And because of that, sin took control of his life. And sin consumed him. And instead of him repenting before God, he was unrepentant. And this is true of those who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They possess a heart that is unrepentant. They allow sin to consume them and to take control of their lives. They allow sin to master their lives and their ways. And instead of them repenting before God, they become enslaved to sin. And God continues to call them, pleading with them and showing them the way out of sin. Yet they continue to be enslaved by sin. They continue to be consumed by sin. They continue to allow sin to rule over them. And if you are not a believer this morning, you need to know that sin will consume you. Unless you turn away from your sin and put your hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will consume you. You may be seated there this morning and thinking everything is okay. You are the one calling the shots. Your life is planned out. All you need to do is follow your resolutions for this year and all will be well. But what you forget is the truth of the scriptures. You are enslaved by sin. It's not you in control. It is sin and its desires. And sin will continue to consume you, will continue to control your life, will continue to entice you, promising you the sweetness of sin, and yet in the end, it will lead you to destruction. Sin may lead you along the paths of pleasure, and it may promise you the whole world, but the end is destruction. The path of sin always leads to disappointment and to death. The path of sin always leads away from peace, away from hope, away from joy. The path of sin always ends in the lake of fire. In hell. There is but one remedy for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the remedy for sin. When He went to the cross to die for sin and for the sinners, He gave His life so that you might be saved from your sins and set free from your sins. He came for you, so that you may not be consumed by sin, but that you may be consumed by the love and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came so that you, who is hopeless, a slave to sin, one who follows the desires of sin, one who follows the desires that are in rebellion against God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the righteousness of God, one who lived a perfect and spotless life, one who lived a sinless life, when His love consumes you and takes control of your life, you will not be a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. And if you continue in the path of unrepentance, no one can help you. God cannot help someone like Cain, one who continues to live in sin, one who continues in a path of unrepentance, one who refuses to acknowledge His desperate need of a Savior. One who refuses to see that he's enslaved to sin. No one will help you unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing your desperate need and believe in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Does your heart reveal the characteristic of one who's unrepentant before God? What is your heart revealing this morning? If we were to dissect your heart, what is it that it will reveal? Would it reveal one who's unrepentant? Or will it reveal one who's realized his need for a Savior and his desperate condition? And one who knows that unless Christ saves me from my sins, I'm done. Hell is waiting for me. Thirdly, the way of Cain is characterized by a heart which is ungodly. A heart which is ungodly. And this is what we see in the last few verses of our passage, from verse 8 through to verse 13. Let's read those verses again. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." The last few verses of our text demonstrate the outcome of sin. In Cain's case, the condition of his heart determined the course of his life. Because his heart was unbelieving, his heart was unrepentant, his heart was ungodly, it determined the course of his life. The beast of sin pounced on him, consumed him, and took control of his heart, his conscience, and even his love for his brother. Because of his ungodly state of his heart, he killed his brother. He was filled with jealousy and rage against God and his brother. Cain killed his brother because his heart was not right with God. He knew he could not get hold of God and kill God. But his hatred for God, his rage for God who refused and rejected his sacrifice, manifested itself in him killing his brother. And sin determined the course of his life. And here we see that his life, his way was ungodly. Because of what was in his heart, it revealed itself in taking the life of his brother. Cain demonstrated bitterness and resentment towards God. Cain was annoyed with God, and he knew he could not kill God, and his jealousy of his brother led him to take his brother's life. And in verse 9, God comes to Cain, again giving him an opportunity to make things right with him. He calls out and asks him, "Where is your brother?" And you see, this is the same approach that God did to his parents when they sinned against God. God went to them and called out to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" And they were hiding because they had sinned against God. And this is the same approach. He comes to their son, Cain, and he asks, "Where is your brother?" Giving him an opportunity to confess his sins and to come to terms with what he has done. And instead of him coming straight and saying, telling God what he had done, instead, he lies to God. He's lying to God, who's all-knowing, who's ever present, who sees all things. When God was asking Cain where his brother was, it was an opportunity for Cain to make things right with God, to acknowledge his sins, and to plead with God for mercy. Instead, he lied to God. He lied to one who knows all things and sees all things. And his answer to God is another signal to show us that Cain's heart was not right with God. Cain's heart was consumed by sin. And when he responds to God, he's responding in a way that sort of mocks God. He's saying, look, this brother of mine, Abel, he's a shepherd of the flock. And he's not my responsibility. And since you, God, loves him so much, why didn't you keep a watch over him? I don't know his whereabouts. Am I my brother's keeper? You surely must be the one who looked out for him. After all, you are the one who accepted his sacrifice. So why are you asking me where my brother is? And God tells Cain what he had done. And he says, I can hear the blood of your brother crying out for justice, crying out from the ground, crying out to me. His blood is not silent. And God is saying to Cain, this is what you've done. I know it. You can't hide it from me. And when I asked you, I was giving you an opportunity to come before me clean, plead before me, and I was going to change your heart. But because your heart is full of ungodliness, it has already determined the course of your life. You don't want to have anything to do with me. You didn't want to have anything to do with your brother because he was accepted before me. You don't want to do anything with those who are in love with me. The condition of Cain's heart determined the course of life that he took. And what is seen in the actions of Cain here is a revelation of the character of the heart inside. And because his heart was not right with God, it outwardly manifested itself in taking the life of his dear brother. And all these prove to us he possessed a heart that was not right with God. And this is true for unbelievers. Their hearts are ungodly. They have no relationship with God. And because of their ungodly hearts, it determines the course of life that they take. It determines their actions. It determines their desires and the things that satisfy them. Because their heart is ungodly, they want to have nothing to do with God. They want to have nothing to do with God's people. And that's why there's so much resentment and bitterness towards God's people. Because God's people have something that the world do not have. God's people, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of temptation, they can look to their God and rejoice because the love of God is the one that has consumed them. And they know that everything in my life is as a result of God allowing it to come into my life. I know who holds the future. I know the God I serve. And everything is not a surprise. Though it's painful, though it's hurting, God is the one directing the course of my life. And the world looks at that and resents that kind of a lifestyle. Because the world fails to understand, why would anyone rejoice in trials? Why would anyone rejoice when there's so much bitterness, when there's so much hatred, when there's so much suffering, when there's so much joy and sorrow around them? Why would anyone rejoice in such moments? And the rejoicing is not because you're laughing at their sorrows. No, you too are experiencing those things. But your rejoicing is because God, who created the world, God, who is the most powerful being, He is your God. You know it. And you can sing. There's this joy deep down my heart. Down there. And I know the devil cannot take it because it's down in my heart. And it's there to stay. The world thinks you're mocking at them. The world thinks you're pretending. No! The state of your heart has determined the course of your life. And the joy within your heart bubbles within you and it affects your outward. And your character is daily being shaped by God the Holy Spirit to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But you, who knows nothing of the saving knowledge of God, your heart is ungodly. And because your heart is ungodly, it is determining the course of your life. It determines your actions. It determines the things you love. That's why you don't love the things of God. Because your heart is ungodly. That's why you don't want to be in the presence of God. Because your heart is ungodly. You'd rather be out there drinking yourselves to death. Out there plunging yourself into sin. Out there doing everything that's against God. Because your life is ungodly. And that's the true state of your heart. And this is true about the life of Cain. His heart was ungodly. And that determined the course of his life. He took his brother's life. He lied against God. No, rather he lied to God about his brother's whereabouts. Showing to us that his heart was ungodly. The name Cain appears in the Bible 20 times. And 3 times in the New Testament. And each time the name Cain is mentioned in the New Testament, it's always in the negative. There's nothing positive said about Cain. Read Jude 11. Read 1 John 3 verse 12. Read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. It's always in the negative. Cain was born to parents who were not perfect, but parents who knew the consequences of sin and living in rebellion against God. They must have taught them the truth of what it means to love God and to live according to God's word. Cain, the first baby ever born in the world, the firstborn, had a heart that was ungodly before God. And most likely, according to the evidence of Scripture, he was lost and went to hell. Let not that be true of you. You may have been one who's been born from parents who are Christians, or you have guardians who are Christians. And they've taught you the word of God. They've taught you the consequences of sin. Some from personal experience, others from observing other people's lives. And they've pleaded with you. They've opened up the scriptures to you. But if you continue in the ways of Cain, you will be lost with all the religious privileges, with all the information that you'd have gained from your parents or from church, and still go to hell. Don't let your ungodly life determine the course of your life this year. All those resolutions that you are making without Christ are meaningless, and they will usher you into hell. Just look at the ones you made last year, and now that they failed you, not because they were bad resolutions, because they are not being guided by the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. And because your heart, which is ungodly, determined the course of your life, you threw all those good resolutions, and here you are again in this year, 2017, wanting to make new ones, hoping that you do better this year. And yet, deep down your heart, you know that there's something more you need than simply just jotting down resolutions for the year. You need Christ and His grace. You need God the Holy Spirit to guide you. Otherwise, you are lost in your sins. How is your heart this morning? Is your heart like that of Cain? Unbelieving, unrepentant, ungodly. Is that the state of your heart this morning? God has been pleased to allow you to see this new year. Not because of anything good in you, but because of His mercy and grace. He has allowed you to see this new year. Those of you who listened to Current Affairs, it was just yesterday in Turkey, Istanbul, when 39 people were killed at a nightclub. They were looking forward to 2017. And a man went there with a gun and began to shoot. 39 people died with just few minutes crossing over into 2017. Do you think they were worse sinners than you? Unless you repent, you too, like them, will perish. God is calling you this morning. He wants you to turn away from your sins. He's been patient with you up to this point. He's been merciful to you. He's allowed you to continue living in His world, enjoying His common grace. Not because of anything good in you, but simply because of His grace. You don't know how long you have in this year to live. You don't know how much time you have before God says to you, enough is enough. Those individuals that perished yesterday, those who perished in the early days of December last year, were not worse sinners than you. Use the news of Current Affairs to make you realize that time is short. To make you realize that it could have been you. And if it was you, where would you have been as we speak now? Would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? Don't continue in this year in rebellion against God, rebelling against one who is all powerful, one who watches over your life, one who's given you His breath, one who knows your hearts, one who knows the intentions of your mind, one who knows how long you live in this world. Turn around from your sin. God is calling you to a life of faith and fellowship with Him. Oh, that you may look back at your years that far and say, I have wasted many precious years. Lord, now I'm coming home. Oh, that you may open wide you may open wide the arms of grace. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of roaming the streets of sin. Now I'm coming home. I repent with bitter tears. Lord, 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 I'm coming home. And God will open His arms wide and He will receive you and He will change His heart and He will change the course of your life now and forever.